News, I'm Sherry Preston. China responding to the House vote on Wednesday requiring the Beijing-based company ByteDance to sell TikTok or face a nationwide ban. The Chinese Foreign Ministry says the bill violates fair competition and international trade rules. A federal judge in Florida today hears arguments on whether to dismiss the classified documents case against Donald Trump. Trump's lawyers argue he was entitled to keep the records with him when he left the White House. With violence mounting in Haiti, Americans are trying to get out. One of those rescued this week, best-selling author Mitch Albom, who runs a charity in Port-au-Prince, an orphanage.
Took all of maybe 60 seconds from the time the helicopter came down and everybody ran in, jumped inside, and the thing took off and flew us out of the country. And we were able to get home, bring all those volunteers home safely.
He says their biggest regret is not being able to get the children they care for out. Israel says it has plans to move civilians out of Rafah to other parts of Gaza before moving ahead with a full-scale invasion of the city. This is ABC News. A federal court in Texas leaving in place a law that requires anyone under 18 to get permission from their parents for birth control.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld a Texas law requiring anyone under 18 to get parental consent before obtaining contraceptives. The panel ruled that the Texas law supersedes a federal program in place since 1970 that confidentially provides free birth control to people of any age at federally funded family planning clinics. A Texas father filed suit claiming that Title X violated his rights as a parent. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
16 members of a California SWAT team hurt after an explosion during a training exercise. As of now, there's no word on what caused it. And Keurig is rethinking the K-Cup. It is now introducing what it calls the K-Round. Instead of plastic, the new pods will be made of a plant-based material that can be tossed in the same way as coffee grounds. New pods also mean a new brewer. The K-Rounds will initially work only in the Keurig Alta. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This St. Paddy's Day, remember the story of Lenny the Leprechaun. Lenny moved to Madison searching for a place to live.
If I find the right place, I'll find me pot of gold.
So he went online and searched up movetomadison.com.
Ooh, what riches!
Yes, Lenny, riches indeed. People that sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes, virtual or in-person meetings too. Find your pot of gold when selling with the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The White House is sending $36 million to Milwaukee to help reconnect a neighborhood that had been divided by a highway in the 1960s. President Joe Biden made the announcement at a stop in Milwaukee Wednesday. He says that the project will help disadvantaged communities living on Milwaukee's 6th Street.
These are life-changing improvements. They're also going to make it easy for historic black communities in the north and Latino communities in the south to access jobs, school, and entertainment.
Wisconsin is seen as a crucial state to win in this November's presidential election. Reports say former Green Bay Packers star quarterback Aaron Rodgers might run for vice president. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president as an independent. The New York Times reports Kennedy's shortlist for running mates include Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers name who's on second. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have named Bryce Terang as their starting second baseman. Terang making some incredible plays in the infield last season and says he's working on his hitting with the advice of his father, Brian, who played for the Mariners in the early 90s. Did it help?
Yeah, I worked extremely hard. Definitely did some talking with my dad and worked hard to just kind of get back to the ways of, you know, line drives back up the middle, putting myself in the best situation to do that. It's been good. I mean, I feel really good up there. there. And
the Brewers losing to the White Sox 15-4, and bad news for closer Devin Williams, who's had back pains throughout spring training. And after seeking a second opinion, Williams has been told he has two fractures in his spine. He won't be able to pitch until June. For now, it's rest and rehab. College basketball, Badgers and Maryland in the Big Ten tournament today in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with rain likely today. We may even catch an isolated thunderstorm mixed in there at some point. Overall, between a quarter and a half inch or more of rain by the time it winds down this evening, with a high of 45 today, the wind northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clearing after midnight, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
From the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
The opinions that you may hear us express, expressly or otherwise, over the public's airways, is in no way to represent the opinions expressed or otherwise by our management, producers, sponsors, or various members of their staffs, or their families, or few friends.
Nor should these views express the opinions of the broadcasters, the disc jockeys, the salesmen, the program and music directors, and their secretaries and girlfriends and wives and their staff.
Unless, of course, we are willing to assume that we can assume the responsibility that their opinions will not influence anyone else's opinions.
Or their family and friends.
And staff.
Okay. Fantastic. I finally got that.
I think we got it all covered.
Yeah.
Legal departments on their on the
Well,
on
they're
the
thinking about
there.
Adding stuff to it.
Really?
Because, yeah, well, legal departments have to do something.
We had everything. Yeah. Covered.
I just about had it memorized at this point. Now you're going to change it?
I think they're going to add stuff. So you can memorize it all you want, but now you have to, you know, remember what they're going to add to it eventually.
Okay, an addendum, if you will.
Yes, Mad Radio WMDX. This is the John and Gordy Show, and we're going to reveal for the very first time what Republicans, or I'm sorry, that party's gone. The MAGAs.
Yeah.
Have in mind about governing, and that is that they aren't going to. And Ron Johnson, dumb Ron Johnson, revealed all of this in a recent statement. I fell off my chair when I heard this.
Oh, no.
I couldn't even believe it. I'm just like, did he just say this? Basically, they don't want progress. They don't want to invest in anything. And then, well, they don't want to govern.
Mm.
And thankfully, Ron Johnson has finally said it out loud for everyone to hear.
It's here.
Currently here inside the bubble, you hear Republicans say, you know, we need to get a result. You know, we need to effectively govern. You know, to me, that's almost code words for we got to do Democrat light. I'd subscribe more to the William F. Buckley definition of conservatism, which is standing athwart history and screaming, stop. We have to stop this madness. So there's a fair amount of stopping that's being required here. You know, I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
Oh, man.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Well, let's just stop everything.
Wow. Yes. Stop. looking at history in the face and saying, stop. We're going to stop history right here, right now.
We have too many laws on the books as it is.
That's
right,
Johnson.
Let's just stop making new legislation.
So basically, he's admitting that the Democrats get the job done and the Republicans are just trying to get away with doing nothing at all.
Yeah, just obstruct everything.
And Ron Johnson has always said it. We have to understand the problem first before we can do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he stops.
Okay.
Well, if you don't understand it, I'm not going to do anything about it. And that's the way he governs. He should not be a senator. All right. I think we all know that by now. And, you know, Johnson won't govern or invest in American workers and businesses, which would pay dividends well into the future. Right. So let's hear this other cut from Ron Johnson. Believe this or not.
Your plan to get us out of this, you're running deficits of
1.8, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, 1.6, 1.8. It never comes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're basically locking in at least $1.5 trillion deficits for the next 10 years. That's what you're budgeting. I mean, clearly, this is unsustainable. You don't worry about, once again, sparking massive inflation that further devalues the dollar from a dollar to 85. What is going to go down to 70 to 60?
The center, absolutely.
Now, the respondent here is the Office of Management and Budget Director, Shalonda Young. Okay. And she's responding to Ron Johnson's question about spending any money and keeping the deficits a little bit high in the trillions, as you heard. But this is her response, and I think it's a fantastic response. This is how Democrats think.
The Senator, absolutely. That is why we put forth a plan that would actually bring deficits down by $3 trillion. We care about our fiscal path. This president has shown how you can still invest in the American people and achieve deficit reduction. And by the way, he worked with Republicans to sign a Fiscal Responsibility Act that would save $1 trillion on our deficit.
So you're proud of a 10-year budget that never reduces the deficit, never brings it down below basically $1.5 trillion?
Senator, Of course I'm proud of a budget that reduces deficits by over $3 trillion, that continues its investments in the American people. And by the way, most economists will tell you the way to look at our affordability of debt is to look at debt and deficit as a percentage of GDP. As a percentage of GDP, deficits are below 4.5%.
I don't think average Americans take a look at least $1.5 trillion deficits, as far as the eye can see, and think this administration is bringing down the deficit. I mean, that's just fantasy talk.
Yes, very, very much fantasy talk. He underestimates the power of the ability of the American people to think. It is really tragic. And Obviously, when you invest in America, you invest in businesses and job creation, that creates taxes, it creates a growth process, right. It makes our economy stronger and bigger and better. But if you invest that money, your dividends are huge.
Mm-hmm.
You get money back in multiples. So it is really a good decision to make, and he can't understand it. You know, the people would never understand this. Right?
Helps to grow the economy. Yeah. I mean, everybody wins. Yeah.
That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So that's, we finally got at least one Republican to admit that they don't want to do anything at all.
608-879-8255 is our number. Let's go to the phones right now. Mark is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Ron Johnson, I have a degree in accounting too, and granted it's a long time ago that I, graduated from UW Superior, but I didn't take a lot of economics because it wasn't required for my degree in accounting, but you're an idiot, Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean that apparently you worship Ayn Rand and take the fact that democracy is a totalitarian form of government and that we don't need any government at all, and that it is just remarkable that the man can espouse this stuff, and that the amount of ignorance out of this man's mouth is just...
It is amazing.
It is just shocking.
It is stunning.
It's just jaw-dropping.
Shouting at history and saying, stop. Just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man. All right.
Mark, go ahead.
Well, let's remember that, Ron Johnson's promoting, horse paste and ivermectin and the anti-malarial drug and probably, shoots up a little bleach and has a special ultraviolet light that he uses for...
Yeah, that's right.
For insertion, it just is...
Well, he's still talking about it. Yeah, his press conference is on that issue still to this day. You're right.
It just is... The man, it's to Wisconsin's shame they reelected this man, because that Josh Call should have indicted all those fake electors and brought it out that Ron Johnson was a fake elector and his ass should be sitting in jail right now looking at four gray walls and wondering if he'll ever get out.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'd love to see that. Yep. That would be a change of pace for him and another place he can live. I mean, he has so many other places in the country to go. Let's put him in jail, in prison. All right, Mark, thanks a lot for the call. I want to get to Eric Hovde because he's the next guy running for Senate. God, right. These people next. Are just a disaster. Yeah. And I call it the Eric Hovde stand-up routine. And apparently it's a flop so far anyway. According to a recent Isthmus article, Eric Hovde has repeatedly accused young people of poor work ethic, drug use, and crime. Recordings from Hovde's former speaking engagement show all of that. He specifically targeted the Madison school system as a train wreck and said creating gender-neutral bathrooms is nuts. We have a cut.
Yeah.
But wait, you have a story in regards to Eric Hovde, something he said a while back.
Yeah.
And oddly, Rolling Stone magazine has been covering Eric Hovde
ad nauseum.
And it's because I guess he's a local guy.
From California. Well, yeah, Rolling Stone's based in California, so they're all over this story.
They are.
Yeah.
So check this out. This is
back
amazing.
In 2017, when he was running, you know, back then, because he was running against Tommy Thompson, I think, to go against Tammy Baldwin in the primaries.
Right.
He didn't get anywhere. But in 2017, when he was at a speaking engagement, he said if it was up to him, alcohol would only be available to people who brew or distill it themselves. He said commercializing alcohol, you know, making it available, distributing it in stores, making it available retail, that was a bad idea, and we should have done that.
Why brought the entire 20th century? Just get rid of it.
Right. And, of course, here in Wisconsin, you know, that's about $2.6 billion in tax revenue, according to the Wisconsin Tavern Association, based on alcohol. And then they asked him about legalizing marijuana, and then he kind of danced around and said he was opposed to that but because he thought it was a gateway. But you know what? He said he was opposed to that as well as alcohol. And so, this is something Rolling Stone pulled out of their archives. So he said, what if we just decriminalize alcohol or marijuana? Nobody's going to jail. Nobody's going to get arrested for it. That's up to you. But then you're going to turn it into an enterprise. So he said he thought should happen with alcohol, to just decriminalize it and make it yourself. Mm-hmm. And don't worry. Get it out of the stores. We don't want to distribute alcohol anymore. Where is he coming up with this?
We don't want quality control.
This is Wisconsin. The per capita rate of alcohol consumption is the highest in the country.
But he's from Wisconsin. He should know better than that, right?
Well, sure, he's from Wisconsin.
All right.
Well, he comes back once in a while to visit. Let's hear
the words of Eric Hovde on gender-neutral bathrooms. This is amazing stuff.
What's he got on that?
To such an absurd level at the end of Obama's presidency that the big issue was transsexual bathrooms.
Yeah.
What? I mean, we have these massive issues in our country to deal with. You're talking less than, you know, like 0.4% of the public, and you're talking enforcing every municipality and school district to create a unisex bathroom?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts. It really is nuts. Sanctuary cities, we're going to fight to keep criminal, illegal aliens in our country? Look what's going on in our college campus. You can't debate. You know, if I was having this conversation, I'd have people, you know, oh, you're hurting me, oh, throwing stuff at me, probably physically attack me. And then they say, we're fascists? Wait, you're doing exactly what fascists did. What's They're that? So stupid, they don't even understand. They're behaving
stupid.
Exactly. We're stopping you because you'll create violence. Wait, so you're creating violence because you think what I say may create violence? I mean, do you ever just wake up and say, am I in Alice in Wonderland?
Well, that's
I do all the time.
I know you do. I know. You wake up in Alice in Wonderland every day of the week.
19 past the hour. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be talking with Scott Clue.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show. calling all visionary leaders, change makers, and soulful CEOs who are on the edge of your next leadership evolution. It's time to release any lingering chains of expectation, raise the floor on your standards, unleash the authentic leader within you, and expand your brand impact. Unleashed Live is brought to you by Soulseed LLC, where they facilitate transformation by creating an environment and experience that supports you to embody greater authenticity and step into expanded leadership, supported by practical strategy. Join Amber Swerner, transformational leadership coach, business strategist, and founder of Soulseed Strategy, based in Madison, Wisconsin. Soulseed LLC is proud to work with the mission-driven leaders, visionary thinkers, heart-centered service providers, and businesses not always included in traditional business environments, who do business differently. Join us April 4th and 5th for Unleashed Live. Register now at soulseed.com.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
At Radio WMDX 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, we're talking about Eric Hovde on the John and Gordy Show. His stand-up routine is just falling flat. Personally, I don't think it's working exactly. You saw how jacked up Hovde got from a few weird guys out in the audience laughing hysterically over what he was saying. Who would laugh at that stuff? And anyway, in another interview, Eric Hovde claimed Senator Baldwin will do whatever it takes to distract Wisconsin voters from her record as a rubber stamp for President Biden's disastrous policies, which aren't disastrous after all. I'll be holding her accountable every step of the way, he said. Oh, boy. Okay, we've got a list of all the things that she has done. I printed out a state map of everything that she's done. We'll get to that in just a moment.
All right.
First, note how Hovde is still using rhetoric from the 80s and 90s, okay? All right? He is. Blaming taxes and regulation for forcing businesses overseas. Personally, I always blame businesses for abandoning the U.S. and hardworking Americans. That's how I felt about it, because basically they left this country for cheap labor. That's why they went overseas. Mm-hmm. It didn't have anything to do with taxes or regulations. They wanted cheap labor. And while listening to Hovde rant here, keep in mind his overall point is how, this is crazy, he's ranting. His point is that he'll work across the aisle while trashing Baldwin and the Democrats. Let's check this out.
Okay. Tammy Baldwin has voted for every single bad policy that has driven American businesses out of this country. Tax policies, regulatory policies. So companies here in America have moved manufacturing jobs to China and to Canada and Mexico, Vietnam. It's the policies that will keep and the taxation rates that will keep jobs being created here. I also find it so ironic that she's trying to connect herself with Donald Trump, because all she did was attack him at literally every single turn. So, you know, she's never reached across the aisle. It's something I've been talking about. I think it's her ad to try to say, oh, I did something across the aisle, because she is one of the most extreme liberal politicians. Her voting record with Joe Biden, if you can believe this, is 95.5% of the time. She is a rubber stamp to the progressive left.
Wow. Okay. What a brand. How terrible. But you can see that he's ready to work across the aisle after trashing him.
Right.
My God.
How's that work?
There isn't one thing that he agrees with the Democrats on at all. I mean, drinking beer is not something he likes. He doesn't like marijuana. He doesn't like anything that society has allowed so far in the 20th century or the 21st century for that matter. This guy is a walking disaster. And I'm just so happy to see something like this happen.
Hey, let's go to the phones. We have Dick on the line with a question or a comment. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, bring back bathtub gin.
Yeah.
And prohibition, right? That worked good.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then talks about this bipartisanship. He'd be the biggest hack for everything right-wing that would ever come down the pike, correct?
Right, exactly.
Something else came out in the news that the Republicans, I don't know what to think about this TikTok thing, but I will find this pretty strange, don't you? That they're bringing this up the flagpole because of national security.
Right.
Oh, but yet you tell us to vote for a guy got all kinds of classified documents,
right,
just like they're nothing.
Exactly.
I don't quite follow this.
Well,
you can help me with that one.
Right, we're gonna talk to Scott Klug about that. Hopefully, I have an opinion or two about the banning of TikTok, or at least really putting strict regulations on them, or at least making the owner sell it. We'll see. But I have a few opinions about that as well. I think that's crazy stuff. It's and I'm sad that Democrats jumped on board with this nonsense. But I agree with you on, Eric Hovde is a walking disaster. And by the way, we've got a track commercial cut.
Oh, his wife, Sharon?
His campaign ad?
His campaign ad
his wife
spot.
Put out.
Right.
And I think we should play that for everybody because this is just an amazing thing. His wife says this one thing in it.
Okay.
And let's hear
it.
Your mind might, be a little more imaginative than she was when she said it, but, he's a take action guy.
Okay.
All right, let's check this out.
I would like to tell you about the man I love, Eric, who is running for the U.S. Senate. A fourth-generation Wisconsinite, he graduated from East High and then became a proud Badger.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When we met, I knew right away he was a take-action guy, a natural leader. He started his first business in his 20s and then built and turned around over a dozen companies, creating thousands of good-paying jobs.
Okay.
As busy as he was, our family always came first. Eric has a huge heart. In his 30s, he started the Hovde Foundation, which focuses on homelessness children.
That's enough of that crap.
Right.
But he's a take action guy.
He's a take action guy.
She knew that right away, first time she met him.
How did she know?
I don't know. What did he do?
Anyway, he did inherit.
Yeah, he inherited
business,
a lot of his
business.
So that's
why I didn't
want to
hear the rest of that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a hardworking guy. He's going to bash Tammy Baldwin running away from her record.
Yeah.
What is her record?
About the
$1 million for affordable workforce housing in Bayfield, Wisconsin. How about the $5 million for Wakadoodle Landing? I don't know what this was, but anyway, it's a language center out in Hayward.
Yeah. How about a $1.1 million for a fire and EMS station in Lancaster?
There you go. Yeah. Or $4 million for affordable housing in Northwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, $3 million for a new food pantry in Madison.
Or $1.6 million for affordable housing in Wasaki.
Mm-hmm. $10 million for a Chippewa Valley corridor.
Or $3.9 million for public safety radio.
$5 million for airport infrastructure in Green Bay.
Or how about $3.3 million for PFAS treatment out there in Rothschild?
I mean, the list goes on and on. $211 million for Wisconsin projects since Tammy Baldwin's been senator.
Exactly.
I mean, the list goes on and on. Right?
And $1 million for the Boys and Girls Club. $2 million for affordable housing in Milwaukee.
$1 million for hospital expansion.
You think any
in Baldwin?
Of that stuff...
was you wasteful think, spending?
Eric Hovde. Really? It's all wasteful spending.
Yeah.
Hovde doesn't know anything about this stuff.
No.
And he hasn't brought it up. He's bringing back stuff that would they used to talk about in the 80s and 90s.
Well, that's where he's stuck.
Yeah, he is stuck
him
there
and his mustache.
With Gingrich and all the others that we have forgotten, and thank God we have.
Mm. Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to be talking to a libertarian.
Yeah.
And then Scott Klug is going to be here. He has his own little podcast, and we hope to promote it. And so it becomes
podcast.
A huge podcast. No,
Lost in the Middle.
Yeah.
Lost in the Middle. Absolutely.
He's really a great guy. We used to have him as a guest all the time at WMAD in Sun Prairie. But now, he's got this thing, and we're going to actually try to figure out where we stand. Where he stands and where we stand on the political issues of the day. Or other issues, whatever, is interesting to...
we'd go way back with Scott, so we'll get, we'll play a little catch-up, talk about the old days, see if he's playing in a band anymore.
Yeah, he used to join some bands?
Yeah, he's a good musician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
729 news and sports, and also an update on the ag markets with Pam Yonke. And we'll come back with Scott Klug on the John O'Gordy Show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This is Chuck Smith, owner of Current Electric, home of the superheroes. Have you noticed electrical problems in your home or business? Flickering lights, broken breakers, outlets that wiggle and jiggle? Current Electric knows the most important thing is protecting your family, and our heroes are experts at electrical repairs and upgrades. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, we answer the call. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. 262-786-5885. Keep your electricity alive.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Well, here's another benefit to not having much snow and definitely not having much frost in the ground. You can get your soil sampling done. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. And what we're learning is, because of the weather, some of the nutrients you're counting on this growing season for your crops might not be available. Details on the way.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
You may not have as many soil nutrients available this spring as you thought to get plants started. Cole Broden is with AgSource Laboratories. He said they're monitoring soil sampling tests coming in this spring, and he says right now they're coming in low on moisture, as you'd expect, but also low on nutrients. Here's why.
It's important to know the baseline, so it's important to get tested, right? They're trending a little bit on the lower side, lower potassium and phosphorus levels. Usually we do see higher levels in the springtime because we have that time to break down those that residual stover during the winter, but that only happens when we get precipitation events, and it's been far and few this winter.
Cole Broden, he's in the soil lab with AgSource Laboratories. He said farms are going to have to monitor field by field where their nutrient levels stand and maybe pull more than one soil sample this spring to know what's changed.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And day number one of the Professional Dairy Producers Annual Business Conference in Wisconsin Dells was a rousing success. Standing room only. In fact, some folks sitting on the floor during the general session. And congratulations to the 21 dairy farmers and allied industry professionals that were recognized for completing all three pillars of leadership training in the Cornerstone Dairy Academy, the application-based leadership development programs designed to help build the skills of dairy producers and industry professionals that want to expand to lead with purpose, character, and integrity. The PDP Annual Business Conference concludes today at the Kalahari Resort. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It is going to be cloudy with rain likely today. We may even catch an isolated thunderstorm mixed in there at some point. Overall, between a quarter and a half inch or more of rain by the time it winds down this evening, with a high of 45 today, the wind northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clearing after midnight, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance.
Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Civic Media now returns you to the John and Gordy Show, already in progress. If you call this progress, there are a lot worse things you could call it if you ask me, but nobody asked me.
Why? Wait.
Never mind. Why do I have to read this?
Trying to read between the lines there.
I'm forcing you to read that, and
doesn't sound good.
No, I think she shouldn't question what she's reading.
She's got a little attitude.
Yeah, what the heck is that all about? Oh, Catherine, oh, well, you know.
All right.
She's our guest when we appear at the restaurant on Wednesdays.
Yeah,
we're a short stack eatery.
Every Wednesday.
Yep. Right now, it's time for our guest, Scott Klug, from Lost in the Middle, his podcast. And Scott, welcome to the program again.
Good to have you back.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, well, do you have a latest podcast that you can fill us in on?
Yeah, so the latest one takes a look at the surge of independence in the country. And so in Nevada and Arizona today, independents are the single largest registration. People under the age of 30 hate both political parties, so they totally don't sign up for any of them. Unaffiliated, which is another fancy term for independent, is the largest block of voters in New Hampshire. And you actually saw that show up in the primary. So one of the great mysteries is for all of those people lost in the middle, who I call America's political orphans, what are they going to do next fall? Because I don't think there's a lot of enthusiasm, much places, for either of the two guys running. And the question then begs whether at some point there will actually be another serious independent run for president. I'm not buying it this time around. The last serious one was Ross Perot, back when all you guys were on a different radio life. And I was holding down a different job in Washington. But I think it's sort of coming. I think people are so flustered and so frustrated that the two parties are focused on only doing one thing, which is getting reelected again and not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would disagree. I think the Democrats have done a heck of a job. They passed a lot of stuff. Reinvestment in the country. The country needed some reinvesting. We were letting everything just fall apart and passing it along to the next generation, which I don't believe is going to make as much money as the previous generation. The baby boomers, basically, the millennials and Gen Z are all going to be independent contractors, no benefits whatsoever. And a lot of them are taking money under the table, not putting any money into Medicare or Social Security. So what we have to do basically is really pay for everything now, replace the roads, the infrastructure, the grid, everything out there that has to be done. Everybody's been putting that off time and time again, saying that they don't want to spend the money. And I think it's time we start spending the money. We have surpluses here in this state, and we're not spending it on keeping up to date with what's going on in the workplace. I mean, we need child care. We need to spend some of this money. What do you think about that?
I think we already owe $34 trillion. So if you're worried about what kind of money your kids or grandkids are going to have to spend, it will go to paying the federal debt, which is now the single largest item in the United States federal budget. And Republicans for a long time, and some moderate conservative Democrats, really wanted to get that under control. I think Trump completely abandoned that philosophy,
right,
and the Biden administration has doubled down on it. So I don't necessarily think the way to evaluate the success of a government is how much money they spend.
Well,
it's if they spend it effectively.
Well, what if we stopped giving away tax cuts? Even repealing the Trump tax cut would help, right? I mean, that's what basically put $8 trillion in the debt.
So if we eliminate the Trump tax cut, are we going to put it to the debt, or are we just going to reprogram it and spend it on something else?
Well, we could put some toward the debt. We could put some of it toward paying for things that we have to pay for. We have to maintain society somehow in this country, right? The infrastructure, programs.
So let me tell you a story.
The environment.
There's
Go ahead.
John, we don't have enough time to list everything you want to spend money on.
I know.
So we'll put that on the website.
All right. You know, I want to spend money. I'm a Democrat, right? Yeah.
Okay. But here's the philosophical question. So it's interesting. There's a program through former members of Congress where we won something called Congress to Campus, which is where they send a Republican and Democrat out to college campuses. Mm-hmm. And basically, you talk to faculty, you talk to classes, and prove that you can actually have a discussion, right, without anybody picking up Jell-O and throwing it at the other side. Mm-hmm. That led to an appearance for my colleague and I on public television in Boston. And a political science professor said, "What's the proudest thing you got passed when you were in Washington?" And my colleague went on to describe a whole laundry list of things, which would have made you happy, John. And I actually said, I'll take a different tact on that. I'm happy about things I stopped passing in Washington, D.C., because the federal government's already too big and spends way too much money and is way too involved in all of our lives. So at the end of the day, you started out labeling me as a libertarian. So I'm a libertarian, but sort of small L, not big L, because the Libertarian Party itself goes off a lot of weird cliffs.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking about the drug cliff, right? Medical marijuana, legalizing recreational marijuana.
Well, I think there's also been talks about legalizing drugs, period. The same sort of disaster you now get to see in Oregon where they're trying to roll it all back.
Right.
We're talking with Scott Klug here. Scott, let's get back to the independents that are out there.
And, thank you very much.
I want to get your take on RFK Jr. and what his impact may be for the Democrats or the Republicans or both sides, and also his selection process for Vice President Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura. But really, what's the impact of having third-party candidates or other party candidates on the race this year?
Let me attack that from two directions. One, let me just talk about the institutional barriers independent candidates.
Okay.
Let's hear that.
In our episode on independent run for presidents, we actually talked to Ross Perot's campaign manager and Ralph Nader's campaign manager to talk about what they had to do. So people don't realize that when you decide to run for president, you have to get on 51 individual voting slates around the country. And they're basically designed in most places to make it virtually impossible to do it. So for No Labels or for Kennedy, who's facing some of the same challenges, which is why he's talked about actually trying to get the Libertarian nomination, you've got to get 157,000 signatures in California. But you have to have 157,000 verified signatures, which means you're going to get 200,000. Nobody's had a grassroots movement like that since really the days of Ross Perot. And you look around the country, here's the cynical side of me, right? I was a journalist, a lobbyist, and a politician, so cynicism runs deep. It's impossible to get on in California and New York. You can, but the Democrats have made it very hard in New York. The Republicans have made it just about impossible in Texas and in Florida. So for all these people who are running, the question is, can they just get on the ballot? Mm-hmm. You'll remember the famous fight when Al Gore lost in 2000, and Ralph Nader got the blame because he got, 3,900 votes or whatever it is in Florida. Yes. It turned out there were actually 8 other political parties that also got that many votes. So you could blame it on Ralph Nader, or you could blame it on the Freedom Party or the Libertarian Party or a bunch of other people.
Well, Ralph Nader should have known better.
Well, and the Democrats in particular are worried about Kennedy and what he may do to Biden.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Kennedy will be the left-wing protest candidate if that's what they're worried about. I mean, Kennedy's one of those guys, he's so far left, he's also far right. He's sort of in a
Little
universe out there. So he could, at the margins, cause problems. There was some hope for a while there'd be a bipartisan ticket with No Labels. That's sort of fallen apart. So at the end of the day, I think, in some of those states that were so close last time out, 15 or 20,000 votes could make the difference with who the next president is. So they could be a spoiler, but I don't feel much of a groundswell out there. I was around for the Perot stuff, and, there were signs all over Wisconsin that would have, Herb Kohl, Scott Klug, Ross Perot. It was the strangest conglomeration of folks in the middle. And tell me the last time you saw a Kennedy sign anywhere, even on the east side of Madison.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of questions for our listeners. How do you feel about the FDA, the EPA? Do you want poison in our food and in the environment? What do you think about that oversight? Is that too much government meddling?
Well, so here's the story. The Department of Agriculture has 5 employees for every farmer in the United States.
Okay.
So what are they all doing?
Maybe that's not enough. Everybody
always takes this to the extremes, right? You're going to eliminate, there'll be no cops on the street, there'll be no firemen, there'll be no FDA, there'll be no, you know, there'll be no federal government policing of the air of airplanes landing and taking off. The question is just, when does it stop, right? I don't think anybody's talking about everything in the world being rolling back. How about if we just freeze things and stop and not add more employees and not create more government programs?
Well, what about the IRS? Shouldn't we add more IRS agents to get the tax cheats?
I would add more IRS agents because I had a problem with the IRS and it took me like a month to get through to anybody who'd give me.
There you go. Well, it has to affect you personally.
I'm not philosophically opposed to spending money on government programs. My concern is in the total, I'll say this again, it's $34 trillion. I mean, if you're worried about what our kids will have in the future, the first thing we have to do is figure out how to just freeze spending now.
Yeah. Well, we've got the corporate farming. So now corporations are taking over that aspect of everything. Corporations and funds are taking over some of the real estate properties all the way through the state.
John, get off your podium before you fall off of it.
Okay.
So he's going to get you off the floor. Yeah. If, for example, people will say, we shouldn't have any kind of crops that have been bioengineered, which means if you didn't have bioengineered crops, you wouldn't have rice in half the countries in the world that depend on rice to do it, because you've got to make improvements in food and food safety. So if we're all going organic, I'm not signing up.
Well, you know, everybody, farmers are trying to go organic. I mean, they banned Bianca, or is that, no, is that the name of the product? It's a herbicide, basically. It protects plants from weeds, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know which one you're
talking about. We should get Pam Yonke on here, okay? You guys can talk about U.S. ag policy with her.
We're talking with Scott Klug here. And, Scott, I have a quick question about what about billionaires getting taxed? You know, you hear about all the money that, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. And what do you think about these huge corporations and huge individuals getting taxed more? Does that help anything, or would that help?
There's clearly some problems with the tax program, and it's wired. But, you know, if you look, for example, interestingly, Herb Kohl, who just passed, who was a wonderful guy and a good friend, and I think a pretty good U.S. senator for Wisconsin. You know, Herb Kohl never released his income taxes. And the reason he never released his income taxes, because I suspect he didn't pay any income taxes, because a lot of what he invested in was real estate. And when you're in real estate, stuff gets depreciated, which means you don't pay taxes immediately. You pay when things get sold. So I have no objections about folks on the higher end paying more in taxes. But I think, we have to figure out a sensible way to do it. We changed back in the mid-80s a lot of the way that real estate was priced and taxed, and we ended up causing a gigantic real estate crash.
Well, the problem is we keep giving tax cuts to the wealthy. We're constantly doing that. The Republicans in the state want to constantly give more tax cuts to the wealthy. And all the research has come out saying, yes, the tax cuts are going to the wealthy. We get hardly anything in tax cuts per year, about $400 on average, I believe was the last number I saw. But that's not enough. We're giving these tax cuts away when we should be reinvesting a lot of that money in the infrastructure and public services. And isn't that what government's all about? We don't pay our taxes so we can get it back later. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's an endless cycle of stupidity, isn't it?
You know, I've always wanted to be on the Rachel Maddow show. So this sort of gives me the opportunity. I'm still looking for where there was a question in it, John. I said, if we're going to raise taxes, we need to do it in a way that makes sense economically. And if you're going to raise taxes, my wild idea would be, how about on the federal side, we pay down part of the debt?
Yeah, well, we could do
It's not sustainable. All the programs you want. So if you look at the federal budget, right, there's like three big chunks. One of them is discretionary spending, which is everything you're arguing for. More schools, I'm getting that. Is there a commercial coming in?
Yes, yeah, we got.
Keep going, Scott. We got less than a minute.
I can do it, man. I know time cues, if nothing else. Count me down for it. So, so if you look at the federal budget, right, the biggest chunk right now is interest on the national debt. As that grows, it squeezes out everything else. And most of what you're talking about, John, you want to see more of, because the other big spending is Medicare and Social Security, which we've got to fix, period, because it's going to be bankrupt in about the next 10 years. Welcome to that fine fact. So everything else that's in there, right? Agriculture, the FAA, the FTC, all the agencies you're supportive of are going to get squeezed out. It's where the fight is every year in Washington. And that piece of the pie keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, I know that I'm not only lost in the middle, I'm lost in a time bubble because the current generation of Republicans and Democrats both like to spend a lot of money.
All right, Scott, we got to take a break here.
Scott, can you stay with us?
Stay with us. We want to talk about Medicare and Social Security, which you just broached here on the show. We're going to get to that in just a moment.
Only if Gordy asks the next question.
Okay.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX, The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Mad Radio WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM and all over the social media dial and podcasts on Spotify. If you'd like to re-listen to the program or listen to it for the very first time while you're at work, ignoring everybody in the next cubicle. All right.
Okay.
We've got Scott Klug as our special guest today, and you have a question that you want to ask.
I do. Here's something that never gets brought up, and I'm going to bring it up with Scott right now. What about military spending? Nobody talks about it. It's like a third rail. We can't cut military spending because there's a lot of money going to the Pentagon. We're the policemen of the world. We got to have more military spending than any country in the world. Can we not touch that somehow? Would that not help this deficit? Nobody talks about it. Why don't they talk about it, Scott?
I disagree, and I won't know the exact parameters of that, but for a while, as part of one of the budget agreements, I think when Obama was in office, they actually had a cap on the percentage of increase for military spending. I think right at this point, I think we've got to look at what's going on in Europe and sort of catch our breath, and the TikTok fight with the Chinese, I think will show you what we're up against on the other side of the world. I think we need to keep a reasonable amount of military spending. But I think, like anything else, I don't have any objections at looking at it. You know, lots of times it's driven as much by defense contractors as it is by the military itself. And so I think we should look at all those programs with some caution.
So what about the Republicans not helping to fund Ukraine when they really need it now?
Well, I'm on the Republican side that favors Ukraine. I just signed a letter with 40 other former members encouraging them to spend the money.
All right. Okay.
Sounds good. I don't think it's the time to pull back. Now, I'm not a Trump fan, and I'm not a Biden fan. I'm not a Trump fan in part because I think he's got the world's most bizarre view of world affairs. Mm-hmm. But he was right on one thing, was that our NATO allies had not paid their fair share for decades. And Angela Merkel, who was once held about as this sort of great champion of European reform, and she'd build peace and structure through trade deals. I think, when was the last time you saw Angela Merkel anywhere? Since the tanks rolled across the Ukraine border, she's been nowhere to be found.
Well, I understand
so,
that.
So I think Trump was right. And I hope the Biden administration takes the same position, that the Europeans have to start carrying their own weight. And you know where you'll see them do it? In places like Sweden and Finland, because it's a real threat for them. And in places like Poland and Lithuania, where the next target points are going to be. And Putin is just the bad guy. You know, there's no sugarcoating it. The former president, I don't understand this fascination with him.
There is no big pot of money that the European countries pour their money into. It's, you know, individually they put money into their security, and they are keeping up, and they have been doing the job. And it isn't something that we need to hold the line on. It's an excuse to oppose NATO, basically, and just to isolate ourselves from these countries. And we're just going to create a worse atmosphere, more conflict in Europe than by not doing anything at all.
No, the fact is, though, we can have our differences of opinions. We can't have differences of facts, John, you know that, is that the Europeans were supposed to spend 2% on defense. And the only people who really did it over the last 15 years was Poland.
Well, you can go back 15 years, but currently they are. Currently they are.
Well, they are now, but they hadn't done it. That's the point.
All right, so that is no longer an argument, and it's still being used as an argument.
Well, okay.
All right.
You're conflating two things. You asked me if I support Ukraine and funding for it. I said yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
I'll talk about that till the cows come home.
All right.
It doesn't change the fact that the Europeans are in scramble mode because they didn't spend what they said they'd spend. None of those guys have got anything. You know, the only country that spent, you know, every time the Europeans say we're going to give aid somewhere in the world, you know whose airplanes they use? Ours, because they don't have anybody who can deliver supplies anywhere in the world, and they're paying the price for it now.
Okay, and you brought up Medicare and Social Security. I beg to differ with you. We pay for that. Each and every taxpayer pays for that. That isn't something the government is paying. We pay into that fund. And the only thing that isn't really paid for taxpayers is Medicaid. That the federal government does pitch in, and it helps a lot of senior citizens who can't afford to live in a senior care center because they've run out of money. And that's what Medicaid is used for in regards to that. So this is something we can reform those programs.
Here are the facts. The Social Security and the Medicare Trust Fund are both out of money in the next 10 years. Period.
Yes.
That's a fact.
We have to fix them. Yes.
And that's what I said.
And
you've got to fix them.
But it isn't something that is on our bill. It isn't some money that we owe. It's not part of the budget. It's there. It's money that's there. We just need to reinforce it, increase the tax, the payroll tax, probably.
You have to change the parameters. And, you know, I just had this conversation with somebody who was talking about doing something with AARP. And I said, you know, the single largest obstacle the significant Medicare and Social Security reform in Washington is AARP, because they'll tell people every time that anybody talks about trying to figure out a way to make the program solvent, they suddenly scream and say that your grandmother, who's 91 years old and living in a one-bedroom flat in Porter's, is not going to have money. The fact is, at the end of the day, we're going to have to change some of the systems, and almost every reform has said, okay, for folks under the age of 50 or under the age of 40, this is how it's going to change moving forward. It's just raw arithmetic.
We can't do that. That's just wrong. We can raise the price, raise what is taxed.
Let me jump in here. We just got a couple of minutes left, Scott. I want to get your take in the last 2 minutes here on the Eric Hovde, Tammy Baldwin race. What are your thoughts on Eric Hovde?
I think it'll be razor thin, because they're always razor thin. You know, we're a state that's a ticket splitting state, right? In 2022. Ticket splitting, which I think is a healthy signal of people picking candidates, not just pulling out a lever, broke out all around the country. Split governor and senator in Vermont, in Georgia, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Kansas, Nevada. So when you look at the race, the question is going to be, will it just be a factor where whoever wins the presidency is who gets elected senator, which is usually what tends to happen in presidential years. The question for Tammy is, if Biden would lose, could she outperform it? Or for the flip, could Hovde outpoll Trump? So the answer is, it'll be whatever it is, it's going to be 30,000 votes that separates them.
Scott, we are all out of time. We appreciate you being with us. Always a good time to talk to you and get caught up. And
had a few extra questions, you know, TikTok.
You guys can talk after the show.
we're good.
So John, you know, come visit me. You can't see the middle from how far left you are. So it's nice to have you visit my universe.
Yes.
Lost in the Middle podcast.
It
Scott
was a
Klug.
Wonderful trip.
Thank you for joining us. We are all out of time. Thank you for being with us. John and Gordy will be back bright and early tomorrow morning, Friday, with
That's
Rocker.
Right. That's right.
We'll preview what's happening on Max Inc. Thanks to everybody.
And our guest appearance.
Yes.
This weekend.
Have a great day. So long. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Tune in Thursday for a very special Devil's Advocates. We'll recap Joe Biden's visit to Milwaukee. We'll take your phone calls. Devil's Advocates, 4 to 6 p.m.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at lazywolflounge.com.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. It was a rough night weather-wise across much of the country. Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, another monster storm.